You're with SBS Radio.
What would you do if you were a custodian to ancient artworks which are thousands of years old? And what if it was the oldest known rock art in Australia? How would you take care and preserve the artwork? And what if the ancient artwork passed down through generations for you now to take responsibility? And what would be your plans to take care of the rock art into the future? I'm Kerry Lee Harding and this is the NITV Podcast.
I mean, like, it just goes back, you know, like, for instance, the recent rock art that's been, found and identified, not found, but it's, you know, just been identified in regards to the dating, but, you know, it goes back to 17,000 years ago. You know, that goes back to our ancestors, you know, who were here on country and how important it is, and the stories that they've left behind for us is evidence on our rock art and how important it is to protect these different species.
You just heard there from Sissy Gore-Birch, Chair of the Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation in Western Australia. And you'll hear more from Sissy coming up soon in the podcast.
So for me, this was a part of my PhD research that I started at the end of 2014 when the University of Melbourne, my supervisor Andy Glitto and Janet Hecht got approval and some funding, more importantly, from the Australian Research Council and Rock Art Australia, a philanthropic organisation, to look at ways in which Kimberley rock art could be dated. Because really, there's only sort of, a lot of people thought it was, the rock art was very, very old. But really, there's only one other date published in the last 24 years to suggest that it was old. So this was something that I was a bit passionate about and still am. And so I applied to join that team to help get some ages on Kimberley rock art. So that's what I've been doing for the last 6 years. We published some results last year for one of the rock art styles called the Guion style in Kimberley rock art. And just now we've published the first ages that have ever been published for the oldest style of Kimberley rock art.
You just heard there from Damien Finch, lead researcher and geochronologist at the University of Melbourne. So, just how does a geochronologist date the rock art recently discovered in the Kimberley in Western Australia?
The technique that we used is that other people had caught on to this idea that there's nothing in the paint itself, this old paint anyway, the old pigments. There's nothing there that we can date because it's an ochre, which is an iron oxide, and there's no known method anywhere of dating the time when people ground up those pebbles of ochre into and mixed it with something, we don't know what, to form a paint to make these amazing paintings that we still see today. So people then were looking for other things that were either that we could date that were either on top of the paintings or underneath them, or preferably both. And in 1997, Bert Roberts from the University of Wollongong published a date on a wasp nest that he'd dated using a different technique from the one that I use. And so the idea goes back that, yes, by dating mud wasp nests, mud wasps that build nests on top of these paintings, if we work out how old the wasp nest is, then we know the painting must be older than that. And similarly, if the artist has painted over the top of a wasp nest, and we remove that wasp nest that's underneath paint and date that, we know that that painting has got to be younger than the age of that wasp nest. So the problem with the the technique that I just described, the one that was used all those years ago, is that it required really big wasp nests. And most of the time, especially on this older art, the wasp nests are quite small. So we came up with a technique to date the charcoal that's actually contained in the mud when the wasp picks it up from the ground to make a mud ball to then make the nest.
Damien Finch works closely with the Ballingarra traditional owners on country and says this is a positive for the project and the relationship is now well established.
Yeah, we do, of course, this is on Ballingarra country, so we need to be invited onto country to work there. And the at the very early stages, it was a question of building up trust. The scientists weren't, like me, we weren't known to the Ballingarra people that we worked with. We weren't known to the senior people who needed to make these initial decisions about what we could and couldn't do. But they did know other people that are on our team, other people who are close to the community in Kalumburu, which is where most of the traditional owners for this area, most of them live in Kalumburu. Some live in Wyndham, and Kalumburu is a pretty small community of about 400 people. Wyndham, of course, is bigger. But so in the very first season, in the field season in 2015, we spent time with a larger group of both senior Queenie people from the Ballingarra mob, and as well as some of the younger emerging leaders, and we talked through what we were planning to do and showed them away from rock art, and then slowly built up a period of trust. In that first field season, we had a largest group with us for a month or so, and then we've been back there every year since, except once or twice a year, except for last year, of course, when we couldn't go there because we may have put the health of the people up there in jeopardy. So a long established relationship now, absolute partnership. On the current research project that we've got, Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation are a partner to that work. So they're a key part. We couldn't do it without them. We've worked on Ballingarra country, and as you know, the Kimberley's the size of Germany roughly, so it's huge. And we've worked in a fraction of that. There's many other country clan groups that whose areas we haven't worked in yet, and we would really like to do so. We'd like to compare the ages that we've got from Ballingarra with similar styles of rock art that are over on the coast to the west, and then more to the southwest as well, and south inland. So yeah, huge amount of other area to cover, because we're really going to need a lot more dates. These are sort of like the first dates that have been published for these paintings, but it's we certainly haven't found the oldest painting in the Kimberley. These are just the, if you like, the very first. And it's like when people first tried to figure out when the first peoples arrived in Australia, and you go back 10, 20 years, people were saying 40,000 years ago. Now it's more like 60,000 years. So as you do more work and more research and visit more places and go to more sites and do more dating work, then we get a more accurate idea of when these paintings were really made, the full extent of the period.
So, what has this whole experience been like for lead researcher Damien Finch, working on country closely with local traditional owners?
I love being on country. I think that there's nothing like standing in a rock shelter, and you know, there might be a small group of us, and we'll be perhaps, you know, the research teams will be the only people within, you know, 50 kilometres or something, areas seldom visited these days. So you feel, especially if you come from the eastern states of Australia, it feels like a remote location. It's not remote for the people that live there, of course, but it feels remote for us. And then you're standing in a rock shelter, which is usually a pretty nice place to be on a hot day, I've got to tell you. But and you do get this sense, you know, that the person that painted that particular painting, whether it's 17,000 years ago like these ones or 12,000 years ago like the ground, it's a very long time ago. But they stood where you're standing now, you know, pretty much. And they would have mixed up the ochre to make the paint to do this painting. And then standing right beside you is you know, one of the traditional owners whose ancestors were, you know, 600 generations before was the person that actually did the painting. So that is the most extraordinary feeling. But it is a beautiful spot, the Kimberley. Apart from all that, it's my favourite place to be.
Sissy Gore-Birch, Chair of the Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation in Western Australia, is happy the project is underway as it gives greater recognition and importance to the rock art in the region.
I think it's been a great experience for our mob because this is something that's taken it to the next level in regards to recognition of how important our rock art sites are and the importance of maintaining and the importance of, working in with our professors, so our traditional owners who are professors in this field, but to bring on the Western professors and the scientists to come together. So bringing both knowledge brokers together to be able to come up with something great and to be able to write a paper with a co-authorship and to be able to showcase, you know, how wonderful our country is and how important the rock art sites are and how important it is to maintain them.
Sissy Gore-Birch says they are under-resourced for the work that needs to be done with their rock art on country.
As far as we are aware, we don't have enough resources. At the moment, we have five full-time rangers employed with Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation. We work in partnership with a number of like-minded partners in protecting our rock art. But it's, you know, again, we are under-resourced. We need more resources to be out on country. You know, we have around 2.6 million hectares to manage of land and sea. So four rangers cannot manage 2.6 million hectares of land.
Due to the lack of resources on country with traditional owners, they say many rock art sites on Ballingarra country have been destroyed beyond repair by tourists visiting the area in recent times.
What's happened in the past is that we've had the rock art on the coastline of our country. Those sites have been damaged. There's been a huge influx of tour boats coming through and without permission from the traditional owners. So pretty much they've, you know, helped themselves to our sites and the sites haven't been protected, and because of our lack of resources that we have internally. So some of these sites have been damaged and destroyed and bits and pieces taken off the rock art site.
Kaz Bonetto is the CEO of Rock Art Australia, and as she explains, they are the only non-for-profit team in Australia doing such work.
We're really just the funders, if you like. We're a foundation that funds the rock art research. We're the only one in Australia funding rock art research, the only not-for-profit. And some years ago, the dating team at the Earth Sciences Department at the University of Melbourne put together an incredible team of scientists, multidisciplinary team of people from all over Australia, and together with funding from Rock Art Australia, they worked up an Australia Research Council grant. And then they got significant funding from the ARC, so that's government funding. And the government looks very kindly upon cash coming in from another source, but we're that other source. So the project would never have got up without our significant injection of funds. And that's what we do. We're here to fund rock art-related research. I have been very privileged to see a lot of rock art, a lot of absolutely incredible, wonderful rock art, and got on many, all occasions with lovely Aboriginal people who have become friends over the years. And it's really all I can just say. It's just a great privilege to see it in the wilderness. Usually, it requires a long trek from somewhere.
Kaz Bonetto wants more people to learn more about Aboriginal cultural heritage across the nation.
Well, they are a wonderful Aboriginal corporation that we're pleased to be able to partner with. I mean, the people at the foundation don't actually do the work. It's the scientists that do the work. So we're not working with them, if you understand me. We're Melbourne-based. I'm Melbourne-based, the CEO of Rock Art Australia. And so we're putting together, we're like the broker. So we'll go and meet with the Ballingarra elders and TOs. And I think this is how it probably happened in the very beginning, took some of the scientists with us and introduced them to people at Ballingarra. And then it's really the scientists that do all the work and the universities that then broker the necessary agreements and permits that are requisite for the rock art research to take place on traditional land, on the land where the rock art is, on the native title land. So we're... As I say, we're the it's our vision, if you like, that underpins all this, the desire to understand through scientific research and Aboriginal knowledge the history of human habitation in Australia. And we're doing that through mostly rock art-related research, because it's the rock art that can tell the stories. And then our job is to tell those stories, share those stories, share those findings, all the research findings, with the general public. And in so doing, I try to get the public to understand and respect this incredible, rich cultural heritage that Indigenous Australia have left, that the Aboriginal people have left us, and that is there and exists and is... I think it would just be terrific if we could all know a lot more of our own history and understand this country better. You know, that rock art's been there for, as Damien's discovered, 17,500 years. There's evidence of occupation much, much longer than that. And I guess one of our questions is the rock art as old as occupation? Were the Aboriginal people... painting actual rock art in these rock caves as far ago as that, 50,000 years ago. No one's discovered rock art anywhere near that old yet.
Well, that's about all for this episode of our podcast series. Thank you to our guests today, Sissy Gore-Birch, Chair of the Ballingarra Aboriginal Corporation, Damien Finch, Lead Researcher and Geochronologist at the University of Melbourne, and Kaz Bonetto, the CEO of Rock Art Australia. And if you want to listen to our other NITV podcasts like Our Story, Take It Black or Ballin' Out, just go to where you get your podcasts from.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.